Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good.
Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
Welcome to the Donut Racing Show, everybody, where we bring a Smirnoff and RC Cola mindset to the French 75 sipping podium of Formula One racing. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, my favorite auto journos and authors of Racing with Rich Energy. It's Elizabeth Blackstock.
Hello.
And Alanis King.
Hi.
In today's episode, we're talking about the British Grand Prix, but first... How was your guys' weekend? How's it going?
I can't even remember what I did this weekend. I feel like it blasted by. I'm thinking about buying a couch that I looked at yesterday, a new couch, because my cats have destroyed our old one. And also, I want something bigger. That's my life. That's my interesting life update for everybody. New couch.
Ooh. Elizabeth, how was your weekend?
My favorite wine bar in San Antonio is closing for 2 months for restorations, and they're expanding the space. So I went and spent an obscene amount of money on bottles of wine, and one of them has a little Ferrari on it.
That's cute.
Hey. It is. It's a little like hand-drawn. Oh, it's so freaking cute. It's from Japan. I'm so excited to drink it. I'm going to make special ramen and stuff for it. But yeah, that was about the highlight. That was the pinnacle.
I went to Dallas to drive a 2019 C7 ZR1.
Ooh.
That was very fun. I have a C8 in my driveway, so I'm driving a Corvette, and I drove a Corvette to Dallas to drive another Corvette.
That's the dream.
And then we had game night on Sunday, and we played Settlers of Catan, and I have not lost that game in months. We have like one game night a month. I haven't lost in about 5 months.
Dang, and that's a good streak. You're like the Max Verstappen of your game group.
Every time I win, they always think I'm not going to win. They're like, Alanis isn't going to win. And then I pull something out of my sleeve and I stand up really dramatically and I count my points. And I'm like, you all lose.
Just like Max Verstappen. I saw him do that this weekend.
Talking about win streaks, let's get into qualifying at the British Grand Prix.
We have Max Verstappen getting his fifth pole in a row, as we expected. But we had McLaren. Lando Norris qualified second, and Oscar Piastri, who has kind of had a dismal rookie season so far, got third. It was incredible. And you know, the thing about McLaren is they kind of just exist all year, and then they have one race where they're like, hey, we can still drive, and then they go back to existing.
But wait, like they put in a lot of their, they've done so many different changes and so many upgrades. Maybe actually this will continue?
I doubt it.
I'm on the train that they did the Freaky Friday body swap with Aston Martin and they've changed places right now. And we'll see it until both Aston Martin and McLaren learn their lesson at the culmination of the plot line, and then they will go back to normal at the end of the season. But we still got a couple more races to go. I don't think they've learned anything yet.
So Max Verstappen, fifth pole in a row. Sergio Perez knocked out of Q1 for the fifth time in a row. What kind of movie plot is going on over there? So we have Freaky Friday with Aston and McLaren. What is happening at Red Bull?
Max Verstappen is having, I mean, he's like living his biopic right now. I mean, this is like what we're going to see in 10 years, maybe when they make a movie about him, 20 years. But then Sergio Perez is having like the road moment right now where everything is the most depressing thing you've ever seen. And he's stuck in the basement of the cannibals.
This
right
isn't
now.
Even his Joker moment yet, though. Like, he hasn't done anything.
It's just really sad.
The day that he, like, qualifies, he gets knocked out in Q1, but then intentionally, like, stops on the track and hits Max Verstappen on purpose. That's his Joker moment. We haven't quite got there yet.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see that.
Max had some stuff to say. He said, and I quote, "I don't know why things went wrong today, but of course, with our car, you have to get into Q3. You have to ask Helmut Marko or Christian Horner. But of course, we are also fighting for the team championship. At the moment, I think I can do it alone."
Pretty gnarly.
He's
pretty
doing
bad.
All right. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Along with watching the race yesterday, last night I watched, I took a little trip back in time and watched the 2003 British Grand Prix.
Ooh.
It was one of the seasons where Michael Schumacher, I think, won his fourth championship in the row. But they had a quote from him during the race. Rubens Barrichello was doing very well leading the race, but they brought in a quote from Schumacher that said that basically echoed what Verstappen was saying, but Michael said it like, "What has Rubens ever done for me?" Basically was the quote, and I was like, "Holy crap, that's brutal!" But also it mirrors like Ferraris. They had like a totally dominant car, extremely fast. No one could touch them. You have your superstar Michael Schumacher and the number two driver in Rubens Barrichello, and it was eerily parallel, at least for that race.
I think the sad thing, though, is like we still remember Rubens. Like, are we going to remember Sergio in 20 years?
Rubens has a pretty cool personality, I think. He's made some appearances on Top Gear. He's like a likable guy.
That's like, true.
So I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, time will tell. I just read that Max can finish every race in second place this season and still win the championship. So
cool.
That's got to feel great from that number two driver spot.
Okay, but someone else brought up a good point. Max Verstappen is extremely competitive. We see this in the fact that he goes over track limits trying to beat his own times, I guess because he's bored out there. Do you think this is a not ideal situation for Max Verstappen because he actually wants someone to race?
I was thinking last night, like, will Max Verstappen be the first person to leave F1 because he's bored?
I think so, honestly. He has been talking about, like, he's been talking about that. Like,
that's why he's getting his stock car racing credentials up on iRacing.
Max Verstappen, if you didn't know, runs the NASCAR Truck Series at Talladega all the time on iRacing. If you check his iRacing profile, it is just NASCAR Trucks at Talladega, NASCAR Trucks at Talladega, all the way down. He was watching the Chicago street race, too. Max Verstappen to NASCAR. Let's go, Max. You may be faster than them, but they will wreck you.
It's not like them fancy open wheel cars over there in Europe.
No, we wreck
will
you.
Spin your Verstappen.
Verstappen. They'll have no idea.
It's a high pressure situation over there in Red Bull, specifically for one driver, but it was also pretty rough at Ferrari this weekend. Both of the girls are fighting, and I wasn't very happy with it. Charles Leclerc was mad at Carlos Sainz after Sainz passed him on track for position, despite the fact that Ferrari had given Charles Leclerc priority. And then Charles came on the radio and was like, "Nice, Carlos, nice, good overtake in the last corner." And then Sainz comes on the radio to Ferrari and he's like, it's a bit unfair what you're asking me to do there. Sacrifice my tire temperature. But anyway, whatever. Also, I am P4. He is P3. I am more at risk.
They both said they overreacted afterward. Carlos said it was a high pressure, high tension moment. And Charles Leclerc blamed the adrenaline.
Well, I like to see that. I like to see some apologia, you know?
But that's what they always do. They will be like, I will wreck you. I will wreck your family. I will wreck all of your extended cousins. And then they get out of the car and they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry.
My prevailing theory is that the Ferrari work environment overall is probably not the healthiest place to be. But at least the friendship between Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc is healthy, it sounds like, at least.
They're doing great. You know what else is healthy? Alex Albon. That guy is out there doing his thing. He had really good pace this weekend. And then we get to qualifying, and this dude is starting eighth.
Yes.
Eighth in a Williams.
Well within the top 10. It was so exciting.
Good for you, Alex. We've always believed in you. Red Bull might not have always believed in you, but we did.
Alex Albon's juice meter is slowly filling up with these consecutive Williams performances.
His Duracell battery.
His Duracell. Well, I'm thinking like actually like squeezing some. He's picking the fruit. He's juicing them. We don't have a full bottle yet, I don't think. You know, Carlos Sainz and Lando. They got full bottles of naked juice. You know, there's a whole.
There is thick.
There's a yeah. And there's a lot of pulp in there, but Alex is getting there, okay? I mean, we're starting to see the benefit of his extended stay in Formula One. That experience is building up. He's becoming a really beast driver behind a not-so-great car.
It's the hair. It's the blonde hair.
The hair.
No, he stripped the color out of it, and it gave him that last little ounce of edge.
Yeah.
It's all you need. So this is a game of fractions, and he was out here fractionally losing hair color, I guess.
Exactly. So to sum up qualifying, we have Max Verstappen, Lando Norris, and Oscar Piastri as the top three. What a sentence. Our Q1 eliminations were Sergio Perez, Yuki Tsunoda, Zhou Guan Yu, Nick DeVries, and Kevin Magnussen. Our Q2 eliminations were Nico Hülkenberg, Lance Stroll, Esteban Ocon, Logan Sargeant, and Valtteri Bottas. But in fact, Valtteri got disqualified from qualifying. He had some fuel issues, so he had to start last. Which was great for Checo, because Checo gained a spot. Good for you, Checo.
Insane.
Not last. Yay.
Wow. So, after qualifying, of course, it was time for the race. But before we get to that, we got to talk about a little British man. A brief Martin Brundle breakdown. Martin Brundle on the grid, doing his grid walk, talking to teams, talking to random people on the grid, maybe a celebrity or two, comes upon actress slash model slash nobody's really sure exactly how she came to be, but we love her anyway for some reason, Miss Cara Delevingne on the grid. Martin sees a celebrity, and what Martin does when he sees a celebrity...
He zeroes in and he freaking motors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Liz just wrote a piece on Jalopnik. You can read it. So break it down for us, Liz.
And follow me on Twitter, where I've single-handedly taken down everyone. Essentially, Cara Delevingne was a guest of Alfa Romeo this weekend. She was on the grid with Alfa Romeo. And as Martin Brundle approaches her, she is well back, like tucked in behind many, many people in a crowd.
She's maybe 15 feet away from Martin.
And Martin comes up, and an Alfa Romeo representative intervenes and shakes his head no and says, don't do an interview. Martin pushes his way in there and is like, actually, you have to talk to me.
Well, Delevingne here. We'll see if we can just stand in the way, really.
He, like, gets everyone else out of the way, comes up to her. She's shaking her head. She's saying, no. And he's telling her, you have to talk to me. You have to. It's part of the deal. That kind of nonsense.
She doesn't want to talk, but everybody needs to talk on the grid. That's the deal now. Everybody talks on the grid.
So after that, she is essentially in a position where she can either give the interview or she can say something else. So she goes the opposite route. She says, I can't hear you. It's loud. And Brundleleg walked off and made a sassy comment.
Can we have a quick chat, Sky F1? Good to see you on the grid. He said, well, the deal is everybody has to speak on the grid, but, you know, hey.
I can't hear anything.
Okay, all right, well, I'm sure it would have been extremely interesting.
It's bad news bears.
It's very bad news bears, in our opinion, in my opinion at least. Like, first of all, I don't think that's the deal. I don't think everyone would talk to Martin Brundle during the race setup. Like, if you went up to, like, Lewis in his car where he's got his helmet on or something like that, you might get something from him because Lewis is a very polite guy. But also, if I was in Martin's position, I would not expect Lewis to want to give me an interview right before the race starts. So we know that that's not the deal, that you have to talk to Martin Brundle while you're on the grid.
Brundle is referring to something called the Brundle Clause, which was put into effect in 2021 after the United States Grand Prix, when he approached Megan Thee Stallion and asked her to do a little freestyle rap for him.
The most cringe thing that's maybe ever been broadcasted in sports, maybe.
She very politely declined, and then her bodyguard pretty much just got her out of the way and put himself between her and Brundle. The Brundle Clause now is that bodyguards are not allowed onto the Grand Prix and for the pre-race show. Not that anyone has to talk to Martin Brundle, but that one barrier between him and potentially talking to someone has been removed.
I think there are multiple things at play here. All the things we have discussed, but also the fact that all of these big blunders with Martin Brundle have either been women or people of color. That is very odd. Also, the only thing the Brundle Clause does is remove one barrier between Martin and the people on the grid. It does not say they have to talk to him. It does not say anything like that. And a lot of the arguments in favor of how Brundle treated the situation was, you're on the grid, you have to talk to them. It's part of the paperwork you sign and whatever. That is not the case. You do not have to talk to Martin Brundle. Another thing that was very odd for me watching it was the fact that I think a lot of women have been in situations when a man has tried to get their attention. Like, we're not talking about all men do this. We're talking about this has happened a few times in every woman's life where a man tries to get her attention, either to say something, to flirt, to catcall, to whatever, and you politely say no, and you politely decline, and you try to move on, and immediately it turns to insulting you.
Because that's exactly what he did. Because after being declined, he's like, oh, I'm sure that would have been a real interesting conversation. And it's like, okay, dude, you're approaching her in the first place and ignoring the team saying no, ignoring her saying no. Like, you're clearly thirsty for this interview, and then you're going to turn around and say that. It's just not a good look. And I think that's, one, not just not a good look, but also unprofessional as hell. And overall, I think this extends into the optics kind of struggle that F1 itself is having right now that we talked about last week with whining drivers over track limits and stuff. It's like, how do we not realize as an organization, if I'm the FIA, that we look bad right now? Like, with this kind of stuff going on, it's just it's just unprofessional. And I say that as, like, a fellow person on camera. Like, if a team declined, like, that first person, that Alfa Romeo person, I'm going, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm on a live thing right now. I'll just find someone else to talk to. I know a lot of people down here. I'm sure I can strike up a conversation. And it just also feels like when he's approaching these people, especially like female celebrities, I feel like I'm not saying that this is his goal, but sometimes it feels like he's trying to get them to say, go on to the mic so they will say something foolish, and then that will, like, give people online some sort of thing to, like, bag on. I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but it does feel like that sometimes.
It does feel like what he has done is put people on the spot, and it's often a case with women where you are being asked to justify your position and your place on the grid, and this is definitely one of those cases. I've had similar things happen to me. Having people try to film me while I was at the racetrack so that they could have a little clip for their YouTube video or whatever. It's not appropriate. And especially Cara Delevingne has had issues with the media. She has had personal struggles. She has had things that were, you know, talked about publicly. And that's part of being a celebrity. But I also understand why she might now, you know, turn away from a guy running at her with a microphone. I don't think it would be inappropriate to say, like, this is not the time or place for that. And it's obvious that this was not part of her promotional responsibilities with Alfa Romeo.
And I think there's a lot of middle ground to every situation. I think you can believe that, hey, if you're on the F1 grid, you should probably be fine with talking for 5 seconds on TV. Yes, you can think that. There is nothing inherently wrong with thinking that. You also have to believe that people have a right to say no for whatever reason. Maybe they just don't want to. Maybe something horrible happened right before you walked on the grid and you just cannot do this. Maybe you're unfamiliar with this setting. You don't know who this guy running up to you is. Maybe that's the case. And a lot of people are saying, to be on the F1 grid, you should know who Martin Brundle is. You should know all of this. You should do your research. If you're unfamiliar with F1 and you try to do your own research on F1, Martin Brundle is not going to come up. He's not. Like, you would have to put in the perfect keywords because this is 2023. Martin Brundle is on the Sky Sports broadcast. The people who are going to come up when you do preliminary research of F1 are Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, all of them. Martin is not going to come up. You also have to just go, you know what? What battles am I going to pick? Is it really important that Kara told me no? No, it's not important. It doesn't matter. This is silly. You should not incite an audience that you know has gone after other celebrities in the past for denying you. You should not give them a little bit of fuel to do it by how you interact with Kara, which is exactly what we saw happen online. As soon as this went down, everyone starts attacking her. What kind of look does that give your sport when everyone on Twitter and everyone everywhere is just going, you suck, we hate you, respect Martin?
The thing that especially bothers me is that Martin Brundle has been very vocal about the fact that he does not enjoy doing that part of the grid walk. He has said he does not like to interview celebrities.
Then stop doing it.
Yeah. So there's a very easy solution here. Have someone else do that part of it. Perhaps we can still keep Brundle around and he can do the interviews with the team personnel. It wouldn't be the first time that a race series has had multiple people on the grid talking to multiple different people.
It's one of the worst aspects of car culture overall is that people want to check your credentials at every step. That's why Donut is the way it is in the first place. It's like we're trying to break down that barrier overall. And to have someone in the broadcasting team, your job is to bring the sport to the world. My perception of them is that they're gatekeeping their own sport that they're trying to broadcast is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Moving on to the race here. McLaren had a great weekend. We had Lando, of course, in second place on the grid, and Oscar Piastri squeezing a fruit of his own, talking juice over here. He's building up that juice reserve himself. Yeah, so anyway, the McLarens worked in tandem at the start. We saw Lando angle his car super aggressively towards Max on the grid in order to try to cut him off a little bit, and it totally worked. Lando got a really great start off the line. Max did not have a great start. His Achilles heel, we've talked about this before in other races. We've seen that Max sometimes struggles on the start. I don't know if it's him or something in the car, but Lando gets the jump on him, gets the whole shot, to use a drag racing term there, or a motocross term, either one. It was awesome. Lando gets ahead of Max for about four laps, with Oscar kind of holding the rest of the pack behind him to kind of isolate Max and Lando. It was a great moment, but it wasn't long for this world. Max had some DRS and passes Lando. It was a great battle, though. And we'll see some more battles later on in the race, including one with one Lewis Hamilton. Safety car comes out near the end of the race, and Mercedes really expected Hamilton to pass Lando. Softs versus hards. You'd expect the softs to be faster, but it did not work out for Mercedes that way. Lando did secure second place. It was awesome. He got a black and white flag on lap 49, so with three laps to go, got a big warning. Hey, if you go off track again, you're going to get a 5-second penalty, and that's going to be bad news bears, as Liz Blackstock would say. He did comment on the hard tire strategy in the post-race interview. I'm sure some people were trying to construe it as tension in McLaren, but honestly, Lando even said it himself. He got the podium, so he didn't care. That's someone else's job to worry about that strategy, to figure that out. I'm sure they did talk about it in the debrief. It was great. He had a little boxing match with a bee that was kind of buzzing around him. That was kind of funny.
I was wondering what that was. I only quickly looked up and saw him. I thought he was just punching the air because he was happy.
No. So there was a bee flying around him. He kind of swats at it and then does a punt. He throws a jab at a bee. It was pretty funny. Oscar Piastri, like we said, the aforementioned building up that juice bottle. He started in third. Unfortunately, he finished the race off the podium, finishing P4 due to an unfortunate safety car timing thing. He went in a pit, missed the window a little bit, kind of got screwed.
Not that juice.
That depleted some juice. and Mercedes Lewis was able to sneak past Oscar and take that third podium spot. But overall, it was McLaren's first podium at Silverstone since Lewis himself finished P2 in 2010. It's been 13 years since a McLaren home podium.
That's before Lando was even born.
Yeah. Yeah. So with a P2 and P4 finish, McLaren, they scored more points in this race than they have in the rest of the season so far, combined with 30 points. That's an insane statistic. That's crazy. So now they're fifth in the Constructors' Championship. Alanis.
I was thinking about Elizabeth this whole race because of Elizabeth's McLaren theory. You see, if one set of McLaren drivers has the metaphorical juice, the other does not that weekend. And I was just thinking, how convenient that it was only a Formula One weekend this weekend. So we didn't steal from McLaren IndyCar.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
It's true. And there was no Formula E, so there was no McLaren in there. There was Extreme E, but also I don't think anyone has ever paid attention to that series. So.
Yeah, I've watched highlights before.
I don't know how they did. I don't know how they did either.
Yeah, so last race weekend in Austria, Lando was the only one with the upgraded car. Now both drivers have the upgraded, the Evo McLaren, and I don't know, man. I think pre-show we were talking about this. Alanis, you were not the most optimistic for McLaren's odds for the rest of the season, but I don't know. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling optimistic.
The purpose of the one race of a year where this happens is to make you feel optimistic.
I know. And it was at Silverstone. But now we're seeing Aston Martin, who we'll talk about right after this. We're seeing them kind of fall off a little bit. This was not a track that suits the Aston Martin, truth be told. It was a very high-speed track. They're more of a mid-speed track kind of car. But I don't know. We're starting to see the other midfield teams, including McLaren, catch up and surpass Aston Martin as development goes on through the season. I'm feeling optimistic. I think I said it last week. This will be the weekend to see what Oscar Piastri is made of. And he had some good tussles out there, and he got fourth. I'm feeling optimistic for him. He had great hair.
Aston Martin, they've not been good. They were so close to the podium for so many races, and now they got kicked back down to the midfield as if the rest of this season didn't actually happen.
Mm.
That's kind of sad. They were struggling even just to get into the points, especially Lance Stroll. And on lap 42, that poor little boy, my sweet Canadian son, was getting too desperate and drove over the white line trying to get in front of Gasly for P11. P11, not even a point, oof, not even a singular point, just slightly a little bit ahead in the finishing order. Gasly was furious. He was yelling on the radio, give back the bleep position now. But it turned out that there was no further action on that. That was probably because Gasly didn't leave any space. But also the stewards don't like him, and he's been dancing on the ragged edge of getting a one-race penalty for having so many penalty points on his super license. So I think they just hate the French.
It's crazy that he didn't get a penalty, because they showed that replay back like once or twice, and I was like, dude, Stroll bulldozed Pierre, I thought. That was like insane that he didn't get a penalty. Pierre is part of the reason I watched the 2003 race, because I was curious, like, okay, I might be too critical now. Like, I was just thinking about how we hear, I think, too much of the drivers these days. So I was wondering if they did that 20 years ago. And you don't hear them. You didn't hear them at all in 2003. We didn't hear anything from the drivers. There was no radio broadcast or anything to speak of during the broadcasts. So maybe I'll have to go back to 2013 to compare. Of course, that was only one race. That's very anecdotal evidence. But I think there's still a middle ground to be found these days. I'm sure that all drivers throughout history have been kind of whiny to their team and everything. I'm sure of it. It is a gentleman's sport, after all. But there's got to be a middle ground to be found. I don't want my cool racer guys to also be super whiny at every race.
I want them to be angry and cursing and making up the worst possible analogies possible. I am talking about Kurt Busch, who said the worst possible things on the radio all the time. And I can't give you examples because it would just be fully bleeped.
Mm. I think that we should go back to the olden days, the classic F1 days of punching people in the helmet.
Oh,
I think we should just get back to really doing good that because
for hand health. Great for hand health, yeah. That. Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time a Formula One driver hit another Formula One driver with their hands?
Too long ago.
After a race. Like when was the last physical fight?
When was the last fisticuffs in F1? Yes. I actually don't know the answer to that.
If you are listening and you know, please tell us.
At Donut Racing Show on Twitter, we need to know.
Or donutracingshow@donutmedia.com.
Wouldn't want to mess with Pierre Gasly. I know he kickboxes. He'd probably be pretty good. He's tall or lanky. Could whip those legs around, kick you right in the chin.
Alpine, they did not have a good day. You might compare it to getting kicked by Pierre Gasly. Our penalty king, Esteban Ocon, he DNF'd on lap 9 with a hydraulic leak. Then we had Pierre Gasly, our guy, we were just talking about him. He made it a double DNF. He did not make it to the end of the race. So he passes Carlos Sainz into the points. Yay, exciting. Then he has contact with Lance Stroll. He retired with a damaged suspension. Very sad.
Yeah, the car was kind of like crab walking. Oh, crap. Was it a flat tire? No, we see the replay. Lance does not give Pierre room and destroys a linkage in the rear. Bad day for Alpine, but not as bad as Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, his engine died on lap 33, brought out the virtual safety car. And then for some reason, we just kept the safety car going for like a million laps, and a real safety car was brought out.
It was a long time.
Which went through lap 38. It was a long time.
But we saw a big fireball come out of that exhaust pipe of the Haas. And whenever a car catches on fire, I feel real bad because you know that's going to be a lot of work to fix.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And Haas does not have the resources to take care of all of that nonsense.
Moving on to Mercedes over there. George Russell on lap 12 is assured that there won't be rain, but he says that there's droplets on his visor, very reminiscent of a previous race, to which the announcers quipped, are you sure it's not sweat again, George? Just like last time? On lap 27, George Russell calls over the radio once again, telling his team to focus on the McLarens, not Leclerc. Forwards, he says.
George, ahead. George, let me give you a little lesson here. Forward, toward, and backward do not have S on them.
That's
and
true.
And that's from an editor.
Both Mercedes drivers were extremely impressed with McLaren's speed on the hard tires. Both drivers almost sharing a quote that they were super impressive and fast on those hards. Speaking of the other Mercedes driver, Lewis Hamilton started P7, worked himself up to P3, as we discussed with McLaren. And post-race, regarding the British fans, he said, quote, "It continues to be an honor to race and represent all of you." Crazy reception after the race. They were cheering super hard for Lewis and Lando, of course, but crazy cheers for Lewis. It was great. It was cool to see two Brits on the podium with one Max Verstappen over at
Red Bull. Around lap 8, Max came on the radio and, shock of all shocks, said that his car felt weird.
Yeah.
I still firmly believe that Max Verstappen has never driven an economy car on the highway. Like, Max, it's fine.
Because his engineers had to come on the radio and say, it's the wind, Max. The wind is variable. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I think it's so funny. He's like so sensitive to everything that he's just like, hey, this is wrong. This is incorrect. Mm-hmm. This is not vacuum conditions.
He would not. He wouldn't last a day over on low team. That's for sure.
I would love him to drive my Mazda somewhere. My Mazda 2. You get one gust of wind and it's over. It's done. Just rolling down the highway. Anyway, Verstappen is over there negotiating his own pit strategy, telling his engineers that he saw a Ferrari pit. The engineer says that he's not concerned. We don't need to worry about it. Lap 42 on the radio again. He's like, buddy, this tire doesn't feel good.
Max, the same driver winning every race the whole season doesn't feel good. It's okay.
Drive it into the pits and see what's wrong. Find it out.
Do some diagnostic work. Maybe we get like a Lando Norris victory or something. Come on, Max.
I think maybe it would behoove Red Bull to give Max some sort of like shitty car exposure therapy, right? Like send him they should do like a 24 hours of lemons entry. And
yes.
Just let him feel what a crummy car really feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. And so he has confidence that when he feels something bad, he knows that it can still go for like the rest of the day, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Max, I have a proposal for you. I have a 2004 Mazda Speed Miata with AC that does not blow cold and a differential whale above 40 miles an hour. Come drive it.
You should get that checked out, though, the diff.
After the race, Max was very critical about those, like, three laps he didn't lead. He said, we had a terrible start, so we need to look into why that was. But after that, both McLarens at the beginning were super quick. It took a few laps to pass them, and everything after that was quite all right. I would go out on a limb and say, like, perhaps a little bit better than quite all right, but that's just me.
I think he's being funny.
Max is funny.
He is pretty funny, honestly. I wasn't laughing at Checo, though.
No.
Checo had a bad day.
Does that mean we're checking in with Checo?
He did start P15. However, he ended up sixth, so he got some points, and he is still P2 in the World Drivers' Championship. But Fernando Alonso's back there, hovering, waiting to strike, just 19 points behind. That could be concerning. Also, if Aston Martin continues to, for some reason, can decline as it has done in the last like two races, maybe. Maybe we don't have to worry about it.
Also, if Christian Horner decides to call up Daniel Ricciardo, it won't matter anyway.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ferrari, they had an interesting weekend. On lap 18, Carlos Sainz was told, "We're going to do plan B, buddy." And he says, "I forgot what plan B is."
That was pretty funny.
It's like, Carlos, it's the second plan. Like, how did you forget it?
Well, that's the problem, is that Ferrari has plans A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. So, like, how is he supposed to know all of those?
Yeah, but I feel like there's also, like, a priority lineup. Like, plan A, let's memorize that one. Next, plan B, let's get like 90% memorization here. Like, no, he didn't do that. So he forgot what it was. And he said, "What is that?" And they said, we'll tell you later, buddy. It's fine. Just drive. Next lap, Charles Leclerc is called into the pits and he comes out on hards. This was interesting because during this race, the conversation became, hey, the softs and the mediums are doing all right. I don't think we need hards. And then we saw Ferrari, of course, put on hards. And then we saw McLaren put on hards, which was a big Ferrari move. They made it work. McLaren did. Ferrari, they finished the race.
Well, it's interesting because we, you know, there's race weekends where sometimes just because they're called soft, medium, hard isn't necessarily accurate to the performance of the tires. You know, some cars like the Mercedes, some weekends they really thrive on the hards and struggle on the softs. So McLaren probably just saw that, hey, they probably do the best on the hards, so let's go hards if that is what gives us the best performance.
McLaren has also had issues with tire degradation because they seem to have a little bit more downforce than the other teams. So they had to kind of pick hards because they had to have that extra bit of tire wear available.
There's also, I mean, Nolan makes a good point about the tire compounds and how soft, medium, hard is not super accurate these days. That's because Pirelli has all of these different compounds, like tons of different compounds. And it used to be like super soft, ultra soft, hyper soft, uber soft, like all of this stuff. And then it was like, oh no, that's way too confusing. What we're going to do is we're going to take three of those compounds each race. We're going to pick them and we're going to label them soft, medium, and hard. Yeah. So at any given time, you have different tires from this range and they could all be pretty soft or they could all be pretty hard. It's just what they are in relation to each other.
Yeah. If I understand it correctly, they have that three tire selection and that kind of selector just goes along their range of tires. I don't know if they won't pick like the hardest and the super ultra duper softest and the middle one. It's like they're all kind of like grouped together. I'm curious if the teams have access to the info as to like what compound it actually is, so that, I mean, otherwise they'd be screwed for like their notes and stuff.
Well, also Pirelli does develop race notes where it's like, we think this is going to be a this kind of race. So you have those race notes where it says, we think the right strategy will be soft, medium, medium, or something like that. Back to Ferrari, they had an okay race, but the last 10 laps were a little yikes. So Carlos Sainz loses three places in one battle. He loses a place to Checo.
Oh, yeah.
Then he loses one to Alex Albon and Charles Leclerc. Then Pierre Gasly passes him. right before Gasly had to retire the car. It was just like, let's add to the embarrassment a little bit, right? Then the last two laps, we have Charles Leclerc battling, guess who? Alex Albon for guess what? P8.
Yeah, it was an awesome, it was fun. Speaking of Alex Albon, yeah, he finished eighth in the race. A great performance. Again, we talked about, I won't mention the J word. Yes, I will. He's building up that juice.
The juice.
He is. I mean,
I was like, what J word? Whose name starts with a J?
He's building it up. And look, I'm not expecting him to win a race or anything. Like, just, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, there might be a circumstance where a top five is possible. Something could happen. I don't know. I've been super impressed with Alex lately in that Williams. I have no idea where Logan Sargeant finished. I feel like everyone's looking at Alex because this is so impressive and cool.
No, I'm looking at Logan Sargeant. Do you know why?
Because he's from Florida and you think that he goes to Cheddar's every other weekend? I don't know.
Well, that's another reason, actually. No, I have decided that my new hobby is finding out whether Logan Sargeant has seen Halloween Town. Because we have.
Okay.
Logan Sargeant is an American. Yes. Okay. And yeah. Halloween Town is a Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Americans often grow up watching Disney Channel original movies.
Oh, yeah.
Lemonade Mouth. Not an original movie, but pretty good. Camp Rock, pretty good movie.
I'm older,
movie.
So I think of like Luck of the Irish, Smart House. What's the Soapbox Derby one with Frankie Muniz?
I forget, but is it like Brink?
Oh, Brink? Brink is great. Xenon and Brink. Xenon the Zequel. And then okay. Z3.
And then Z3,
Ride on Track about Zetus Erica Lapidus? Enders, the junior dragster driver who's still a pro stock driver today. Miracle in Lane 2. Thank you, Gavin.
Okay, so Logan Sargeant. There is a good chance that Logan Sargeant has seen Disney Channel original movies, but there's also a good chance that he is too young to have been on the Halloween Town train because by the time he was a kid, Halloween Town was on at like midnight on Disney Channel, right? Like they were relegating it to the sidelines. So has he seen Halloween Town? Yes or no? If no, will he watch Halloween Town with me? Also, if no, or if yes, what is Logan Sargeant's favorite Disney Channel original movie?
We need to get Logan's people on the phone, and we just need to have him on the podcast. We talk about Disney.
We need to get Logan on here and ask him nothing about racing. Just like ask him all of the most random stuff in the world and see what he says.
Let's sum up this British Grand Prix. The podium was Max Verstappen in his sixth consecutive win and his first ever British Grand Prix win. That was actually kind of surprising to me. He won the like 70th anniversary Grand Prix, which they weren't counting as a British Grand Prix. I don't understand Formula One sometimes. Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton were the other two on the podium. That was followed up by Oscar Piastri, George Russell, Sergio Perez, and Fernando Alonso. And then after that, we rounded out our top 10 with Alex Albon, Charles Leclerc, and Carlos Sainz.
Fastest lap went to Max Verstappen, and the driver of the day was Lando Norris, our guy. Our DNFs were Esteban Ocon, Pierre Gasly, and Kevin Magnussen. Also curious if they've seen Halloween Town. How do we think this is going to go? Like, how do we think the rest of the season is going to go? We're like halfway through the year.
I'm actually kind of compelled by the fact that we've had this midfield shakeup suddenly occur, like, in the last two races. Like, I was very, very convinced that Aston Martin was going to be the challenger, and now I am not at all convinced that that will be the case.
It's very exciting. Yeah, I'm with you, Liz. I'm hoping that McLaren keeps this going, and then perhaps a new challenger shows up in the third quarter of the season and really makes the end of the season exciting. William, I mean, maybe.
We got to get them Logan Sargeant points. We got to get them loints.
So I'm excited.
The loints? Did you just say loints?
We got to get the loints.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that is such a gross word. Like tendons is a really gross word. Loints is a really, really gross word.
It's my mop son.
The important thing is that we keep saying it over and over to emphasize how gross it is.
Juice. Mm-hmm. Juice. Juice.
That's a totally normal word.
Juice. Loints.
A delicious guava nectar. Come on.
Oh,
juice is awesome.
Oh, gross.
Okay. What? Wait. Do you not like juice?
No, I drank juice right before the podcast. It's just you've made it gross by saying juice the whole podcast.
I totally disagree. Juice. I've got a great voice.
Elena just doesn't like their man juice.
No, I don't like their man juice.
I don't call it man juice.
You said they were squeezing it out of themselves.
No, I said they're squeezing
it. Yes,
no.
Gavin, wind it back.
Okay. Maybe I did. Maybe I did once. All right. I see where you're coming from now. I see your point of view. I'm still going to call it that, though. All right. It's time for Boyfriend of the Week. All right. You know how Boyfriend of the Week goes. 1 week only, middle school rules. Who's the best? I'll go first. Watching the 2003 British Grand Prix, I spotted one Arnold Schwarzenegger there to promote his new film, Terminator 3. Great movie.
Is that Judgment Day?
That's two.
But Terminator 2 is where the missiles go off. I mean, Terminator 3 is where the missiles go off.
Anyway,
so what is that called?
I forget. Terminator 3 is my Boyfriend of the Week.
Nolan, I love the Terminator films. Oh, Rise of the Machines. That's when the bombs start going off. Terminator,
first
incredible film franchise.
Terminator 3, first R-rated movie I saw in theaters. My dad took me when I was 10 years old, because that's how old I would have been in 2003. Just did the quick maths. Anyway, that's my Boyfriend of the Week, Terminator 3.
Elizabeth, who's your Boyfriend of the Week?
My Boyfriend of the Week is Alex Albon.
Okay.
Because he alone is P7 in the championship right now in the Constructors' Championship.
Oh, no.
They've got the list there. Here, let me look at this list. Red Bull, Mercedes, Aston Martin, Ferrari, McLaren, Alpine. And instead of Williams, it should just say Alex Albon. Haas, Alfa Romeo, and AlphaTauri.
Damn.
He's my Boyfriend of the Week.
Damn. Okay. So my Boyfriend of the Week, I had a little bit of a toss-up. My actual Boyfriend of the Week is, I was on the internet, and by the time this publishes, I believe this car will have sold. So we'll see what it sells for. I was on the internet and I saw a tweet from Cars and Bids, who I was doing the ZR1 video with, and it was a Toyota Century hearse with two gold dragons fighting each other on top of it.
Pretty sweet.
I saw that.
Uh-huh. Is that not Boyfriend of the Week material right there? That vehicle?
That is.
That vehicle? Is. Another thing I feel a little lukewarm about, but also respect the hustle, was my husband, I saw this TikTok where someone was like, every man thinks they could land a commercial airplane in an emergency. So I text my husband and I said, do you think you could land a commercial airplane in an emergency? And he said, absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind. And I posted this and it went viral on Twitter and everyone started talking about it. And this guy responds and he says, you are married to a delusional moron. Doesn't that make you feel bad? I am not kidding. If I was married to someone that lives in a parallel world, I would be on the phone with a lawyer right now. And I said, and then he sent me another tweet and he said, tell your dumbass husband he can't land a plane. And I said, no, I'll just mute you. And he said, all right, seems fair, but he can't. And I just really liked that he said, all right, seems fair.
I love that he just doubled it down with that last, like, I'll get the last word, though.
Before she mutes me, but he can't. And I just, like, you know what? I felt like I still muted him, but there was a little bit of respect there for that. All right, seems fair. Nolan, could you land a plane in an emergency?
See, the thing is,
he's gonna say yes.
Is that I've logged a good amount of time on Microsoft Flight Simulator, and I could go down to Santa Monica Airport right now. I could steal a Cessna 172. I could steal a Cessna and fly that thing and land it back. I could borrow that thing, no problem. Commercial airlines are a little different. I believe that I would need help from the flight tower. They would have to tell me some stuff. Like, they'd have to get, like, an instructor on the radio with me. There would be a lot of pressure. I would probably collapse after I landed that sucker.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
I would much rather, look, they've got a lot of assists on there. look, all respect to the pilots out there. You guys are very much overworked. I don't want to sound like I could take your job. I certainly couldn't. That's a tough job you guys got. You guys deserve more pay. But I've trained, is all I'm saying. I've trained.
So challenge, if you are a listener, particularly a male listener who thinks he can land a commercial plane in an emergency, leave us a 5-star review and say you can.
Well, we're going to go depart for the week. No one's going to go fly a Cessna. Thank you for listening to the Donut Racing Show. We'll be back next week and Nolan can tell you all about it. We're actually talking about how technology has changed in Formula One.
In the meantime, make sure to subscribe. Tell all of your friends, not only that you could land a commercial airplane in an emergency, but to tune in to the Donut Racing Show. If you want to leave us a 5-star and kindly worded review, it really helps us out. We also have an email address where you can get in touch. Here is an email we got recently. Are we ready? This one's for Nolan. Hello, ladies and Nolan. Love you, dude. If you were a chick, I'd marry you. In parentheses, Carlitos way. Love you guys. Love the show. Just finished the Monaco show and wanted to let you all know a little fun fact about your boyfriend of the week. Esteban Ocon is half Catalan and Barcelona is their capital. It's like a second home race for him that week. My family is from Spain and I was born here, so it's like I have 3.5 people on the home team. Keep up the awesome work. Eric from New Jersey. Nolan, that's a big honor.
Yeah, I'm on Wikipedia right now reading the plot for Carlito's Way to see what he meant by that. But thank you very much regardless. Okay, if you're not familiar with Donut, we have a YouTube channel. It's called Donut. You can search it, as well as an automotive history podcast called Pass Gas. Please check both those out if you haven't already. Follow DRS on Twitter at Donut Racing Show and email us at donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. If you want to have your email read on the air, make sure it's clever. That's how you get on the air, baby. Okay. Follow Alanis at Alanis N. King on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky and
Threads. All of them. Wow.
Threads is a thing now.
Threads is a thing.
Yeah. Liz, are you on Threads as well?
I am. I am Eliz Blackstock on Twitter and Eliz A. Blackstock on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky.
Yeah. I am Nolan J. Sykes on all social media. Have kind of like cooled off on the Twitter posting, but I am on Blue Sky if you're there. I only have 2 followers. It's Alanis and Kevin Williams are my only followers over there.
I follow Nolan on Blue Sky. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And Threads. I don't know if I'm going to do Threads or not. I don't know. I don't know.
Threads is like Instagram, but in word form.
It's like Facebook, Instagram word form.
It's horrifying, it's honestly.
It's a weird prospect. Just shout out to everybody on Twitter. We had a good time over there. Those were some good days. And then it turned into bad days. And I honestly really enjoyed the community of very interesting people and just cool people and funny people that we met over on Twitter. I mean, that's a lot of the reason Liz and Alanis are on the show is because I followed them over there. So whatever social media platform takes over as the Twitter, not replacement, I think it'll be kind of like a coexistence of all these platforms now. So happy trails is what I'm saying.
Happy trails.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.